Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers advisor here in DCU. This week we are going to unpack what a cover letter is and, more importantly, why we do them. Joining me today is fellow careers advisor Sharon Buck to unpack and discuss this topic in more detail. So firstly, thank you so much for joining me, Sharon, and to tease this out. It's an important part of the recruitment and selection process. And so maybe we might start off, and maybe you might let us know, is what is the purpose of the cover letter?
Hi, Siobhan, and thank you very much for inviting me to discuss this with you. So the employer wants to know three things, basically, from that cover letter. Can you do the job? You know, do you actually have the experience and the ability that they actually have gone to the trouble to write up in the job spec? And will you do the job is the second thing. Now, do you have the motivation? Do you have the experience, the enthusiasm, you know, to do this? And the third thing is, why do you want to work for them in particular? They really want to see that you have personalized this cover letter to their firm, to what they actually have to offer, to the job that they have to offer. And they want to see that you've done your research and to be able to demonstrate that to them in the letter.
So generally we see the cover letter supplied with the CV. So one of the key things that we want our listeners to really take on board is that even if you are only asked to send in a CV, you automatically supply them with a cover letter also. So it's just to be mindful of that. Even if they don't ask you for the cover letter along with the CV, ensure that you do, because the CV is an excellent document to explain the can do about the job, but the cover letter is brilliant for that. Can you do the job? Will you do the job? And why you want to work for them? And just another point about cover letters, we often get questions, you know, should I supply a cover letter alongside an application form? We would say generally not. If you look at the application form itself and the questions in the application form, you will find that some of the questions on that application form itself are similar to the content that we would actually see on a cover letter. So you are getting that cover letter material out, but it could be through the form of question and answer within the application form itself. So what do we really want? Why is it so important, the cover letter, in that overall recruitment and selection process, Sharon? What would be the key thing for you?
Well, I suppose the employer is really using this as a culling tool when they just have the CV and the cover letter to hand. So you really have to make your pitch, you know, to them. They haven't met you yet. So you have to make a strong pitch for that you are the right person for this job, that you match in as much as possible what they actually want, and that you're really, really excited and keen to work for them. So it's a very important personal reach out, really, in connection with the facts and figures of a CV.
And I suppose one of the key things is that in a very competitive jobs market, there will be a serious number of candidates willing and able to do the job that as described in the job description. So if a recruiter is looking at, say, so many candidates, maybe they've culled it down to 100 candidates, for example, that, you know, meet all of the criteria, but they cannot interview 100 candidates. That's just not practical. It's very cost inefficient and so on. And realistically, you still may not get the right candidate out of the process. So you often see recruiters then will look at the CV and then look at the cover letter, or vice versa, whichever their process is, and really use the cover letter to separate and cull back down into a manageable pool of candidates. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, absolutely, Siobhan. I agree with that. And, you know, there will be employers who are looking at that cover letter to see how really carefully have you tailored it to their particular company and that job. That's really important to them, because they can spot a generic, quickly written cover letter, you know, a mile away. And they want to see also, you know, how enthusiastic are you for working for them? How much of this research and connection with them have you made? And where can you bring value to them. That's extremely important to employers, particularly in a very competitive market where they need people to hit the ground running. You know? So if you can demonstrate that you can add value to them, that you have done it for other employers or in other contexts in your life, then that would be a really important thing to them.
And I suppose we hear time and time again, you know, communication skills are highly valued. The cover letter is one of the first indications to the employer of your written communication skills. And they're mm-hmm. looking to see how you obviously can, you know, write well and your grammar and your approach to writing, but your interpersonal style, how you're influencing them to bring you on to the next stage of the selection process. So they're, you know, you are kind of indicating to the employer your actual abilities there as well. So it's really very, very important, as particularly communication is highly valued in organisations, and written communication things we depend so much on email in companies and dealing with clients both externally and our own internal colleagues as well. So they're the very important aspects of it. So who reads the cover letter, Sharon?
So there could be a number of people reading it within a company, depending on the size of the company. So you could have the hiring manager, you could have a member from HR if there is an HR function internally to that company or externally. You could have external interviewers also looking at this, and of course other key members of staff also will be asked for their input, especially when it comes to looking at the suitability of that candidate.
And I suppose one of the things that we always remind our listeners is that any document like the CV or the cover letter, if the recruiters have to read a huge number of documents, the most important thing is to remember that they will be speed reading the cover letter as long as alongside your application and your or your CV. So it's very important mm-hmm. that you know that your communication in your cover letter, the clarity is very, very good. And we really recommend avoiding, you know, big, long, complicated paragraphs, you know, good, short, punchy statements that can be easily read on a scan read. Now, in fairness, when they've done the scan read, of course, they're going to look at it more seriously when they've got the number of candidates down. It's not that they don't read it properly at all, but they do need to get through a body of work, you know?
Absolutely. And it's partly why we recommend that it should be no longer than one page.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you can't say it in one page, you're probably waffling anyway. So they're the sort of things that we have to remember. And often that we see a document too long, it's just that you're trying to say the same thing in a number of different ways because you haven't got your story right in your own head and you keep saying it and saying it again. So yeah. What would you recommend? You know, do you start off writing? You know, like how do you start off with a cover letter? What's the best approach?
Yeah, so before you start, it's really important to analyse that job description and just ask yourself, why are you actually interested in this role genuinely? Because you need to see what your own motivation and interest is before you can convince the employer on paper, you know, that you actually are right for this. You need to be able to identify the strengths that you have and the abilities in relation to this particular job. So you need to really, really carefully match, okay, where possible. And while you're doing that matching, you need to be thinking about maybe writing down for yourself, what is the evidence that I have about to match these abilities and this experience and qualification that this employer wants. That's the first and most important thing that I would do.
I love that word evidence, and this is critical. Mm-hmm. You know, the employer has to make an informed decision, and they, you know, good business people make good business decisions made on evidence. And it is your responsibility as an applicant to provide them with the evidence so they can actually make an informed decision. So one of the things that is really, really important is to really pick out what evidential pieces of information do you have. It is not advisable just to write down, I am the ideal candidate. That doesn't provide them with the evidence. That only provides them with your opinion of you. And it's not evidence. Okay. So what else? What about the company and the industry itself? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, very, very important to research the company and the industry. Because you need to be able to really show that you have this knowledge, you know, that it's not just, you know, I'm firing off 50 cover letters and it's the same letter to each one, right? You really need to personalize this. So you need to start with the very basics of looking at a company's website. You know, what are they doing? Who are their clients? What size are they? What are the recent developments, if any? What projects are they working on? Look at their social media. What are they saying about themselves? There's important messages that they want to get out there about them, about their brand. Particularly look at LinkedIn as well. Okay. And while you're on LinkedIn, if you're not already doing this, it's a good idea to try and build up some connections in companies that you're really interested in. Even long before they may be advertising some jobs. Okay. It's really good to do this. These kind of contacts can give you some very useful information about the culture of the organization and what it's like to work there and what's important in that organization, and even maybe some tips for trying to get in there. So there could be some very useful information for your cover letter. Be sure also to be aware of any values that they talk about on their website, and we can get back to that again later. And again, if there's any mission statements, these are important things to a company, so it's important for you to note them.
Brilliant. And other sources of research is, you know, Financial Times, research the papers in Ireland, say The Independent or The Irish Times. There's business podcast series, there's business radio shows, there's just do good searches, customer reviews. They can be very, very insightful, especially if they have a product or a particular service that is very well, you know, known in the in society. So really kind of thinking a little bit outside the box and kind of seeing where is the number of pieces of information. Have you ever used a product or service before yourself? You know, think a little bit, you know, why do people need this product? Who buys it? Who are their clients? You know, really getting a kind of a bit more of an insight into who their what their organization is actually about. So we just might move on quickly to, we're not going to spend any great time on this, but it's just to kind of give people just a little bit of a visual thing about a cover letter layout. It's a formal letter, so if you visualize an A4 piece of paper, on the top right hand side your address, underneath it then on the right hand side the date, then drop down a line and over to the left and you put down their address, drop down a line and then go dear sir or madam, or if you preferably, if you know their name, put their name in. We'd have an opening paragraph, possibly two chunky middle paragraphs, a closing sentence, or it could even stretch to a paragraph, and it's yours sincerely if you know the person's name, and it's yours faithfully if you used dear sir or madam. But just to start off with that first paragraph, you know, how do you begin?
Yeah, so it's important to say why you're actually writing. Okay, it might sound very obvious. So it's important to state that from the outset, why am I actually writing this cover letter to you? So something like, it is with great enthusiasm, or it is with great excitement that I wish to apply for the role of X as advertised on your company's website. In addition to that, you need to introduce yourself in terms of, I'm a graduate or I've just finished my degree in at DCU, and give the proper title of your degree. Okay. In other words, not just saying a business degree in DCU, like a BSc. Business studies. Okay, so that kind of introduction is really important to set the scene. Can I also say here as well that if you are writing speculatively to a company, i.e. where there isn't a job advertised, but you are sending out letters to see if there's any work available, that with this first paragraph, of course, there isn't a job advertised. So while the introduction about who you are stays the same, you really need to state here what type of work you're actually applying for. And you could include here to be open about it, that you're actually open to any relevant opportunities that the company might actually have before you go on then to talk about the kind of abilities, experience, etc. that you have to offer.
Would it be useful, you know, on a speculative application and depending on the nature of what is happening in the jobs market at any given time, anybody's listening to this episode, you know, even kind of saying that, you know, available for short-term work, you know, very interested in project work, you know, or just in time work, or, you know, just shorts, you know, short term projects that you may have a gap in your team on.
Definitely. Yeah. Because, you know, when an economy is, you know, in any kind of difficulty and there's any kind of recession on, then there's a lot more of this short term work, a lot more project work. So yes, by stating, you know, your availability, it could very well tie in with the company's needs.
And how about that, and this is really just thinking off the top of my head here now, Sharon, but so bear with me. I'm just even thinking that we all now have a bit of a recent experience of working online, or students who are finishing up this year have had a bit of experience of even studying online, and maybe trying to get maybe across, maybe not necessarily this section of the cover letter, but at some point during the cover letter, like, you know, how you've been thriving, you know, working remotely, and that, you know, you can work very collaboratively with an online team, or, you know, kind of putting out a bit of evidence there that you've been studying for the last 8 or 10 weeks at this stage, and that you have, you know, you've kind of adapted to working in this way and very open to speculative work in that area.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea, as you say, because it's such a change in the way many people have actually been working, and it just allows a lot more flexibility. So I think you're absolutely spot on to really highlight that and possibly maybe do it at the very end of the CV as part of your wrap-up and part of this how adaptable I am, you know?
Yeah, and it's just really that as we move back into transition working, maybe a couple of days in the office or one day in the office or whatever way it might be, it just might open up employers' mindsets as well, you know, about, you know, here's somebody that's ready, that can say they can do it in this way, and they're already confident or at least building a confidence in this area as well. You know, they know their existing employees have adapted, so they're not, you know, it's just that you are a new person to them and they may not be aware of your abilities in this area. So what about those middle paragraphs? Now, you know, from my perspective, definitely a good chunky paragraph about the company and a good chunky paragraph about yourself, and they can, one can come before the other. There's not a particular approach, you know, one doesn't supersede the other. We would just recommend two paragraphs would go in here, one about them and one about you. So maybe you might start off with the why you paragraph.
Okay, so this is where you want to explicitly refer to any particular skills and attributes and knowledge that are in relation to the competencies or the skills that they are actually looking for in their job spec. So you really have to be really, you know, carefully and cleverly matching this up and really give the evidence of where you have actually gained that experience and those skills. So we're not talking about a list like you have in the CV, but we are talking about like a summary type statement. So for example, if organization skills are one of the key skills that are required in the job, that you are saying something like, I have strong organization skills that are developed from a fast-paced environment in my intra-placement, in addition to my role on the committee as a secretary, chairperson of DCU's football club. So it's just very succinctly, you know, giving some strong, concrete evidence of where I actually have in one of those particular top-level skills.
Brilliant, because again, the CV has been a great document to really list down that can-do piece. So really the cover letter is we're really trying to bring in those key pieces of evidence very directly related to the role itself. So it's a bit more of that high-level, punchier statement, because again, we've absolutely said it's only a one-pager. you've done an awful lot already on your CV. And then on the company, I might come back in about that. So I suppose you really have to kind of get a, you know, what really resonates with you about what they do, you know, what their products and services are, the way they do it, you know, what is their culture, what is their values, you know, what really connects in. And you don't have to give them a rehash of what they already know about themselves. Really kind of tap in what connects a bit more deeply to you. It could be a you know, an aspect of the business that they do, or the type of clients they have, or that it may be a global or maybe a domestic product. It maybe have, you know, particular design features that really attracts your attention. Whatever your industry, if it's in the not-for-profit sector, you know, it could be an organization that you feel a very personal connection to, maybe because of something that happened in your own life or something part of your family's life, or just being a long growing interest for you. But really, I suppose, really trying to connect in with them. And you are providing evidence there of that why them, you know, for the employer. We're going to maybe finish up on that final paragraph. Any thoughts about that? We've already, you know, talked about maybe that bit of online space could be something you could put in there. Anything else you would suggest there, Sharon, just to make that final last pitch?
Sure. I think reiterating your enthusiasm and interest to want to work with this company, to want to contribute to their success, is really, really important. I think it might come across, you might feel that it's cheesy not to do this, but it's actually playing to the psychology of the employer, because who doesn't want to read, you know, that they're really excited to want to come and work for you? Who doesn't want to read all the research that you've actually done and the effort you've gone to dig deep and actually convince them, you know, how you actually match what they do and the culture of who they are. So yeah, reiterating that is really, really important, I think, there. I think one thing I would also like to say is that if this is a speculative letter, then it differs, this final paragraph differs slightly, because you, in an advertised job, you know, you are expecting the employer to get back to you, and they normally do, obviously, saying either yes, move forward in the recruitment process, or no, no, thank you. But with a speculative letter, you know, the employer is under no obligation to have to respond to you. So you do need something that encourages this. So something like, I will follow up with you in the next week to 10 days to see if there's any opportunity that we can speak further. That's one example. And then you need to do the follow-up yourself. So that may be another email that you send, maybe gently asking for a couple of minutes of a call, of a Zoom call, just to try and see if you can take that conversation further. And this kind of approach has worked for some people, you know, so it's a gentle push into an employer's space, because you could land your cover letter and your CV in their space at the right time, especially if we're in an environment where there's all this short-term work going on.
And I like that idea, Sharon, because it's like everything else, you're really just inviting the employer to have a conversation with you, you know, and they, you know, they may not have a fully formed idea of what they need you to actually do, but they may need to, they've one idea in their head or a couple of bits of ideas in their heads about, you know, to try and plug some gaps in their team. And all you're saying is, I don't really need a full job description right now. Just maybe have a conversation with me and we'll just see if there's something that we can work together on. All right. You may not be a right fit for what they want, and that's fine, or vice versa. But, you know, it's just an opening to a conversation. So we just might finish up with this now today. What's your top tip, Sharon, for doing podcasts? I was going to say, doing cover letters. I probably need that too. Go ahead. Sorry.
So my last top tip for a cover letter is, do your research on that company. So you can absolutely write with enthusiasm and passion and conviction that you want to work for them, that you are excited about them and the idea of being part of their success. I can't really overstate that.
Brilliant. And I suppose my top tip really is that it's just to think about, you know, that you've really worked hard on that CV. And I know a lot of people spend a lot of time crafting it and drafting it, and they're really proud of where it works. It's just to remember, really, like, think of the CV as that big oil tanker coming into a port. How can a big oil tanker berth? It needs a tugboat or a series of tugboats. But in this case, we're just going to think about that one tugboat to bring it in to port. So think of their cover letter as that mighty small boat that can bring in that oil tanker, which is your CV, into port. And that's where we will leave it today. Listen, thank you very much for being on the episode with me today. I think hopefully our listeners will find it very useful.
Pleasure, Siobhan. Thank you.